Good afternoon, world. You are listening to the Urban Conversation on kpcradio.com, where the concrete jungle meets the elastic mind. I'm Michelle Basuk. My co-host Dennis Martinez is not joining us today. And today we have Jason Ackerman and Encore Patel here discussing public transportation. We actually had a show with Jason Ackerman last time, but I wasn't present, so now I am. So first, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
What are we going to discuss today, basically? You guys let me know what the topic of the day is, discussing public transportation.
So basically, in a nutshell, what we're talking about is current issues in public transportation. Last time I was on here, I was trying to talk about history. So this is like what's going on right now and what's going to start hitting us within like the next year or in a few months.
Okay. And so I forgot to say this, but Jason Ackerman, you're on the Encino Council. And so are you? No, you're not. Okay. You're on the Encino Council. You're a CSUN graduate and you are on the CSUN Transportation Work Group. And Encore Patel, you are a UCLA undergrad, a CSUN grad student right now. And your thesis is focusing on the Los Angeles Department of Transportation.
That is correct.
So let's talk first about how much does it cost right now to take the bus, for those of who don't know?
Okay, so that's so generally speaking, if you're talking about taking the bus in the San Fernando Valley, you're talking about taking Metro. Right. And that's $1.50.
Metro is the Metropolitan Transit Authority, which is a countywide agency. So I'm focusing on LA DOT, which is Los Angeles Department of Transportation, the city agency. So that's part of the confusion, is there are many different transit providers, and each of these different providers will charge you differently depending on what bus you're getting on and where you're going.
And also some of them will honor each other's transfers and some of them won't. So some of them are on the tap card, some of them are not. It's kind of complicated, although it's getting more simplified.
The tap card is a transit access pass that's supposed to allow you to get on all sorts of transportation, but they haven't done a good job of that.
Yeah,
Santa Monica's not on board yet.
Okay.
All right. So what is the tap card then? What's so special about it? Everyone uses it, but I personally am too late. I have one. I'm too lazy to use it because you have to refill it. Like at a certain place, you know, and, you know, I don't always take the orange line. I just take the local buses. So,
okay. So the tap card's basically like a memory card that stores passes and fares. So it's like between a memory card and a debit card. So you can either put money on it and just use that money for fares, or you can buy like a day pass or a week pass, and they no longer sell paper day passes anymore. So if you want a day pass, you have to have that tap card. And,
yeah, so the different passes, you can have a day pass, which costs $5 through the MTA. You can get a week pass, which is about $20. You can get a monthly pass, which is $76. If you're a student and you get a discount, it can be $36. Pierce and the Los Angeles Community College District had a whole program where they were subsidizing this for students. But guess what? They took that program away, even though students were using it, because they'd rather pay their administrators more money.
Right, yeah. And last question involving a card and a bus. Why do you think there's going to be a time where you could use your credit card on the bus? Like, you know, with meters on the street, you could use your credit card to pay if you don't have change.
Well, so for certain modes of transit, particularly rapid transit, like the trains and the orange line, you can use your credit card to buy a tap card there. You can also load your tap card online with your credit card. And for a while, they had a Visa combo tap card. That's been discontinued, at least the Visa function has.
Right, yeah.
But again, more broadly, public transportation should be free.
This is
part of the political priorities and the way that they budget more money for wars and administrators and all these other things that we don't agree with, as opposed to something that's useful and necessary like public transportation.
Yeah.
It should be free, but we're still paying $1.50 just to get on a bus and go one way, which is already too much.
Nothing is free. They're not going to. I wish. Okay, so what are the route changes in Valley public transportation, and why are they significant?
Okay, so in June 2014, which is this year, a couple of months away, there's going to be some major changes within the rapid system, also within the local system, but particularly within the rapid system. They're taking the 741 Rapid, which runs up and down Reseda from Devonshire to Ventura Boulevard, and they're merging that with part of the 761 bus, which runs up and down Van Nuys,
The 761 goes all the way from Sylmar in Northeast Valley all the way to Westwood, UCLA, crossing Sepulveda. So it's probably the longest bus route maybe in the country.
I don't know if it's the longest bus route in the country.
All right.
I don't think it is.
Sepulveda's the longest street.
Yeah, Sepulveda's the longest street, but it currently is operated by four different buses. And I say four, I'm including the rapid and local versions that Metro operates as one bus.
Right.
So back to the changes.
So what they notice is that the heaviest traffic corridor in the valley is Ventura Boulevard.
Right.
So what they notice is that the highest density of traffic on the 750, which is the current rapid operating on Ventura Boulevard from Warner Center to Universal Studios.
Oh, yeah. I take that one personally. Yeah. So
the densest traffic is between Reseda and Van Nuys. So what they decided to do is merge the two routes and have a U. And so it's called the Valley U. And this is upset a couple of people for many reasons, but chiefly because they're breaking up the 761, mm-hmm. which is going on Van Nuys, which goes from Van Nuys over the Sepulveda Pass. But what they're doing with that Sepulveda Pass chunk of the 761 is they're giving it to the Sepulveda bus, the Sepulveda Rapid bus, the 734. So now instead of having four buses to operate Sepulveda Pass from its start to finish, you'll have three actually. So you'll have the 734, which is going to go from Sylmar Metrolink Station to Westwood along Sepulveda through the Sepulveda Pass, which kind of makes more sense than pairing it with Van Nuys, even though Van Nuys is the sixth busiest corridor in our L.A. system.
Van Nuys, Sepulveda, Ventura, all very busy, all have different buses, part of the complicated system that we have.
So you guys, why are you guys so focused on public transportation? Jason, you've told me before the show that you are against driving.
Well, I'm not against driving per se. I'm a non-driver.
You're a non-driver.
I'm a conscientious objector to driving.
So you just, exactly. Like most people who take the bus, they're like, oh, I cannot wait to have a car. I cannot wait to drive. Yeah. And you're like, you want to focus on making the buses better so people don't want that.
Exactly.
And, Encore, what about?
Or need that, more importantly.
Right.
The way our city is designed is very low density, and it makes it very hard for mass transit to operate efficiently and at the level of service that people want it to. So that's one thing I'm looking at. How do we solve that mismatch of density and service and markets and, you know, and how do we make that all work together better?
Right. And that's true. That's a good point because cars pollute.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. It's like, you know, places like New York. People depend mainly on taxis. No one drives there, but it's
A lot of people take the subway and the buses
in
New York
subway
as well.
Exactly. Now, not everyone has the money for a taxi, so
true that.
Encore, are you not against driving, but are you a conscientious objector of driving?
No, I drive also, but I think the way that we need to look at this is as a transportation network. There are many different modes of transportation. Each of them has different functions and uses, and we need to use them all collectively in an intelligent way that maximizes our time and the dollars that we spend.
Exactly.
So I actually took public transportation from Chatsworth to Westwood for a whole year. You know, that's three buses or four buses, depending on which way you go, 2 hours each way. And once you actually on the bus and you see how it operates, it clicks something in me.
Right.
This could be better. It could be better because of this or this reason. Start going to public meetings and you start seeing, again, just like across education or healthcare or the prison system, the way that the money is spent could be better. And it's not being decided by people who actually use the system.
What you said, you said something that kind of clicked in me. You mentioned a transportation networking. What is that?
So again, that's using many modes of transportation to solve all of your needs.
What would be like an example of that?
Well, even things like Uber and Lyft, you know, you use your smartphone to find a ride. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that you use when you need it, but you're not always using Uber and Lyft. You're
expensive.
But even if you have a bicycle, you're not bicycling everywhere all the time.
Right.
Sometimes you're gonna get on a bus. You're gonna take a subway. You're going to carpool or whatever it is. That's the idea that we need to bring to our transportation consciousness.
Exactly.
It's not just I'm gonna walk to my car and go everywhere I need and then.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the other thing to keep in mind is when we talk about transportation network, it's actually plural. It's transportation networks. It's different types of transportation for different markets and different styles, depending on demand and, you know, whatever funding is available at the time that it's planned. So, you know, we have a very heavily automotively oriented transit network in L.A. we need to give some of that space back to pedestrians, back to the bicycles, and back to the buses, because we can't put any more cars on the road.
So I've noticed I have a smartphone, and I drive now, but I used to take the bus everywhere. On Google Maps, for example, you type directions to where you have to go, and you put route options for bus. Mm-hmm. And it'll tell you, let's say this bus will be here at this time, and then the next one will be at that time. So it's supposedly supposed to connect. But I've spent, about 45 minutes waiting for my second bus, because the buses here in the San Fernando Valley, they take 30 minutes, each bus. I've noticed in L.A., it might be, 10 minutes.
No, it sucks everywhere.
Really?
Well, it doesn't suck as bad in L.A. because they have, again, a wider array of providers to offset that demand.
And then we got to talk about specific routes. Right. Again, if we're talking about Wilshire, you have a 720 bus that operates very quickly, or if the Red Line. But generally speaking, if you're in the suburbs, you're disconnected from these major arteries, you're going to get 30-minute or hourly bus service. Yeah. And but that's just not good enough, because you miss it.
Right.
And now you're waiting, like you said, for 45 minutes.
So one of the things I'm working on with the Encino Neighborhood Council is to work on increasing the frequency on the 236 bus that runs up and down Balboa.
Okay.
That one runs once every 45 minutes to an hour. And if you miss that, you're not screwed necessarily, but it's not a great way, because then you have to take the 240. And if you live farther north than I do, which is two blocks away from Ventura Boulevard, your options are really limited.
But then on the other point that you said, and you use your Google app or your smartphone, that's where this is going. That's kind of what's going to allow us to cut down those wait times, to utilize the different modes of transportation and become more efficient. But in the meantime, we're stuck on something called fixed route bus service.
Right.
It's going down a specific route, specific schedule of time, and that's where the vast majority of public transit is. If you start looking at the actual numbers in terms of the number of trips people make annually, it's about 10 billion trips in the United States made on all modes of public transportation annually. 10 billion trips. About half of those are by bus. So minus rail, minus light rail, minus demand responsive taxi and ferry boat and whatever else there is, half of the total number of trips are by bus.
Right.
And within that, there's a lot of privatization of these bus operators, these bus systems. So my focus, LADOT, Los Angeles Department of Transportation, operates about, 34 total, 34 dash routes and 13 commuter express routes. They're all operated by a private company and several different private companies, where LADOT, our tax dollars, are being spent by LADOT to give to these private companies to operate these buses. Initially, I went in from a biased perspective thinking that privatization is bad. That's not necessarily the case, but if we're not evaluating it, we're not looking at the numbers, we're not, making sure that people are actually using it, then it doesn't matter if we're spending that money or not on whatever it is.
So are you saying that the concept of privatization is not bad, but just the way it's being executed, at least here, is kind of shaky?
I'm against privatization. I think public services need to remain public. I think volunteerism undermines the value of labor.
Yeah.
I think nonprofit organizations and non-governmental organizations take away the responsibility of government and allow government to be ineffective.
Right.
But for this specific conversation, the privatization of Los Angeles Department of Transportation hasn't been as bad. I haven't proven it yet. I'm still working on my thesis. I'm looking at the data and the statistics and the numbers. But nationwide, we're spending a lot of money on buses. And in the Los Angeles level, they measure it basically by how much are we paying them per hour to operate a bus.
And
it varies depending on your agency. What would you think? What would you pay a private company to operate a bus for an hour?
Oh, my God. You should not be asking me anything about financial stuff.
It depends on the agency and the route.
LADOT. What do you think LADOT is paying?
Their drivers?
No. Again, the private company to operate the bus per hour.
That's your thesis, man.
What would you pay?
Right now they're paying, and it's been gradually increasing, between $60, $80, and for some routes, $100 an hour. And again, the different commuter express buses cost a little bit more.
Right.
But you're paying $100 an hour to operate a bus.
So who are they paying $100? Like the private organizations?
It's a company. It's a corporation. Yeah. It's people, right?
We're not the corporations bus drivers. Are people too. You know, and I was actually, we're talking about the buses. We're not talking about the people driving the buses.
Yes,
they are.
True.
I have taken a bus like one day and I saw the same guy, the same bus driver at one, like really early in the day, the same guy driving really late at night, and he is going in one big circle. So what does that, like, what should they get paid, really?
Well, you know, more broadly, $15 an hour is a nice minimum wage.
Yeah.
Most of these bus drivers aren't getting that. They're not getting health care.
Yeah.
They're not getting benefits. And that's part of the privatization, right? If you're
exactly.
privatized companies, you can pay your workers less. And that's consistent throughout so many different industries. And
yeah, that's also because the private sector unions are much weaker than the public sector unions. And so that's part of the argument for privatization along these municipal agencies, is that they don't have to deal with public sector unions, which, you know, kind of saves costs but just pushes the costs onto the worker more. So it's complicated and messed up.
And people have done a lot of research on
yes.
this, proving exactly what
right.
Jason just said. You know, intuitively, we know this.
Right.
But there's so much data and evidence that supports this. That's, again, why we speak from so much, you know, a position of,
yeah.
like, this is how it is and this is what it should be.
This is where your heads are at.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the future of public transportation? What's the solution? What's the future? Because we have to go somewhere.
All right. So right now we're evaluating what's called the Los Angeles 2035 Mobility Plan. And actually, a lot of the major cities in Los Angeles County are doing similar plans right now. Burbank has one. San Fernando has one. I haven't really looked into Culver City because I'm trying to focus on the Valley. But it's this huge, like, 120-some-odd-page document, not counting indexes and tables. And what it's basically saying is that we need to increase, like, the what they call active transit, which is non-motorized transit. Because most of the trips that we take are less than 3 miles, so that's like biking or walking or longboarding range.
Mm-hmm.
And they focus a lot on bicycles and sidewalks, but also like improving, just basically carrying out the Measure R agenda.
So Measure R was a half-cent sales tax that provided funding for public transportation. In 1980, we also passed Proposition A, which was a half-cent sales tax. So there's, again, a lot of money for
yeah.
public transportation, but where is it being used?
Right.
And so what Jason's talking about right now, the mobility plan kind of lays out a framework yeah. of where we want this money to go.
And what's so interesting about it being called a mobility plan is it's not just a transportation plan.
Right.
Because when we say transportation, we think motorized transportation. We think cars, buses, you know, trains.
Mm-hmm.
So mobility is like everything from, you know, from wheelchairs and walking mm-hmm. to high-speed rail.
Okay.
And even to
yeah.
airports.
Yeah,
that's
wheelchairs,
part of mobility as well.
Disabled people, the American
yeah.
Disabilities
yeah.
Act. There's billions and billions of dollars spent on moving people who are wheelchair-bound. And that's
right.
another place that's where efficiencies are not being really realized.
And another thing we were talking about before was basically, you guys are saying how there should be like subways or trains that only fit like 3 or 4 or 5.
Well,
that's Jason's idea.
That's my idea.
So that's your
so,
idea.
So, okay, so here's the thing. The Achilles heel of mass transit has always been acquiring the mass to fill the transit.
Yeah.
Right?
Density.
So the normal answer to that problem is density. So if you have like a New York City or a San Francisco, you know, where there's a lot of density, the transit works great because the buildings are closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And the major streets are closer together. They're not like a mile apart like they are with the major streets in the Valley, where, you know, Balboa's a mile away from White Oak and White Oak's a mile away from Reseda. And, you know, if you have all these spaghetti streets in the middle, yeah, that they kind of, you know, make it harder to get to the bus and get around on foot because they're meant for cars. So personal rapid transit is different because it allows for a much lower density ridership. So instead of trying to fill a bus with 80 people,
mm-hmm.
you're filling a pod car with like 2 to 4 or 8. So, and what I like about personal rapid transit is it's electric, so we can make it.
Oh, so it would be electric?
Yeah, so as opposed to our current fracking-powered natural gas fleet.
Yeah.
clean air fleet, my foot. So, and also what's nice about personal rapid transit as a mode, and it's just emerging right now, which is why I'm trying to fight for its inclusion in the 2035 plan, because by 2035, it will be a mature technology and ready for prime time.
Right.
So they're doing the first test case of what's called third-gen personal rapid transit in Tel Aviv right now. Mm. That's going to be opening this year. They have second-gen networks in Heathrow Airport and Masdar City, and they've been very successful. So what it basically, like I said, it gives you the efficiency of a train, but the personal space of the car. So that's
right.
I mean, that's really how you have to combat car culture, is something as appealing and convenient as a car.
And so that's one potential solution.
Yeah, that's one potential solution. A lot of, solution. Okay, yeah.
And so, again, my future of transportation this last 5 minutes is multimodal. It's a transportation network. It's okay. Using more bicycles, active transport, like Jason said. You can still use your car, but maybe things like Zip Ride or carpooling.
What's a Zip Ride?
Zip Ride is a private company that allows you basically to rent a car when you need it.
Oh, okay.
So car sharing, like right. Bike sharing. There's different concepts like this where there's different ways to utilize our vehicle infrastructure and our
right.
road infrastructure in more efficient ways. And so I think, again, with the technology, with smartphones, with us being more connected and thinking about the environment and getting off of fossil fuels and all these other things, especially for young people and even seniors and disabled people, right? Seniors don't want to, we don't want them driving. They don't want to be driving.
Yeah, no one wants them driving.
yeah, for sure.
But these other ways of thinking about getting people from A to B,
right.
That's the future of transit. And PRT is one of those,
yeah.
But we have buses already that could be more efficient. We have cars
yeah.
that could be more efficient, more people. Bike lanes. There's
right.
no argument that why are bike lanes so bad in the valley? It's almost a crime.
Why are they bad? Because
we're closing in on the last 2-3 minutes. You want to?
Yeah, so part of the problem is that they're spotty around the valley, right?
Mm.
We actually have, as a region, one of the better coverages of bike lanes, but we have less connectivity within those bike lanes.
Right.
So we kind of have them where they've been convenient to put in, but they're as far as bike lanes go on the national or international stage, they're amateur hour.
But then even when you consider the bike lanes, they're on the road. You're 3
right.
feet from
exactly.
a car that's moving
scary,
40 miles
yeah.
per hour. It's not protected. They need to be separated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
like
even
the
on
Orange Line lane, that's a good one.
And then
yeah.
even on campus, right? We're
right.
at Pierce right now. Bikes aren't allowed on campus.
Right.
You got Orange Line over there. How are you going to get your bicycle from
yeah.
from the Orange
Don't
Line
walk
to campus?
Your bike.
Not to mention the fact that the campus and all the classes are totally spread out here. And, you need some kind of mode of transit
yeah, exactly.
to get through this camp to get
yeah.
your class on time. I used to go here and skateboard everywhere and,
now
I
can't.
I was there for the onset of the sheriffs yelling at you for riding your skateboard on campus, and it was a very interesting time to be a student here on a longboard.
All right, well, I think that's all the time we have. This is a great urban conversation.
Yeah, what is the line again? So where the concrete jungle meets
it's
the elastic mind.
The urban conversation on kpcradio.com is where the
concrete
jungle meets the elastic mind. I forgot my own tagline. So. Thank you so much, Jason Ackerman and Encore Patel, discussing this very interesting and universally appealing topic, because a lot of people take the bus, everyone drives a car, and it's just like there needs to be, an agreement, a universal agreement, I guess.
It needs to be a paradigm shift.
A paradigm shift, exactly. That's a great word for it. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. Before I sign off, remember to like our page on Facebook. facebook.com/theurbanconversation, and our Twitter is twitter.com/theurbanconvo. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week.